Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we just really quickly something in?
Do you like our costumes, by the way?
I do like your costumes. Okay. I like it. Thank you. Very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I like that. You guys, why on a Tuesday, though? Halloween's on a Friday.
It's only because we cater.
Literally what I said to the whole crew yesterday.
Well, we like to cater to the salespeople here of the building, and I guess no one shows up from sales on Fridays. Outside of three people, so that's fine.
I've heard of Harry Potter. Everyone's asking, like, they put out a ridiculous poll on YouTube, and I said, look, I've never watched Harry Potter.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be like, I've like literally never watched. Have you ever watched any Harry Potter?
I've watched bits and pieces of the first movie
to see
what it was about. The closest I've gotten to Harry Potter was when I was a supervisor at UPS, and it was Harry Potter Day, which meant we had to come in super early because there was trailers filled with Harry Potter books because the kids couldn't get enough for Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. No, really?
It was a big deal.
It was the second most sold book.
What year was this?
Yes. The Bible. Yes.
Like approximately?
Probably 05, 06, somewhere in the mid-2000s.
Right.
Yeah, and it was like tote bags filled, 54-foot trailers. Harry Potter! And it was like trailer after trailer after trailer after trailer. We're there 9 hours. It was unbelievable. I was like, is it really a big deal? So I watched bits and pieces of it. I know they have Harry Potter Land at Universal Studios.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah,
do you know what's the name of the character? Ron Howard? Ron Wesley?
Ron Howard is a director.
Happy Days, right?
Yeah, I know that. That's a joke.
And director.
I love bicycles. Bonte, I'm doing a bit here. All right. Sam Lubman, who are you?
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley is? I didn't know who Ron Weasley was.
Do you know Bonte?
I don't know Ron.
He is the best friend of Harry Potter.
Okay.
So there you go. And then now it's all full circle, and I'm dressed as Harry Potter today. No joke, I actually looked like Harry Potter a lot in the early 2000s because, I don't know, I wear contacts most of the time. Sometimes I wear real glasses.
These ones aren't
prescription, by the way. There's also no lens in them because I'm wearing my contacts.
Well, I'm dressed up as Oscar the Grouch, and Sam Lubman said that you were going to be Big Bird today. So I'm a little disappointed because I really thought you might come in as Big Bird.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
I didn't get the memo.
Would you have dressed up if we asked you to?
Probably not.
I say anything. At least you're honest with us.
Not today.
That's all right.
It's a Tuesday.
Are you going to do a family one with Baby Jasmine?
We have a family one. Yeah, but I don't know if they have a costume for me. They want me to be Genu from Boys.
K-Pop Demon Hunters. Yeah, Saja Boys.
But I want to be Groot.
What's it called?
I want to be Groot. Genu. K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, K-pop Demon Hunters. The Saja Boys are the boy band.
Okay.
So the more you know. LJ will get older and you guys will watch it. The soundtrack is very catchy. I'll just say
it's very catchy. But I wanted to be Groot. I'm a big Groot guy.
Oh, Groot's great.
Oh, we play the songs all the time.
It's great. I love this movie 3 with Balthazar Bratt, the kid from the 80s. It's actually voiced by Trey Parker, who does a lot of those South Park voices. And Benny loves that one because he has a catchphrase where it says, "I've been a bad boy," but he does like an Eric Cartman voice.
Oh, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
The exact same voice, just like that. So you'll learn, Joe, as LJ gets older. You start watching.
It was great.
Can we get this over with?
What are we getting over with?
Can we play the song one more time? I'm gonna wax poetically for a second.
The series isn't over.
Shut up.
It's 2-1.
All right.
We're acting like they're dead.
Oscar the Grouch. I'm a grouchy Giants fan this morning. Bonte, they're gonna win the World Series. Talk with you. And I think that Giants fans need to come to grips with, they do things really well. They've paid the right players. They've given out unbelievable contracts. We could argue about deferments, but they've used the rules to their advantage. And I think we've underestimated how well they've drafted and developed and how well they've made good, shrewd trades for great players that fit their culture. And this Dodger team, is unbelievable. And that moment last night for Freddie Freeman is an all-time moment. And if they do go on to win the World Series, which I believe they will, they're going to be back-to-back World Series champs. He is a Southern California guy who grew up a Dodgers fan, who hit an 18th inning walk-off home run for the home team. I mean, as
were
much
you guys
as
up for that?
No. No. No chance.
No chance. I was wondering. I was thinking about 13th inning,
and I fell asleep with the iPad on.
Late night tonight, too. 8 o'clock tip for the Warriors, so that's why we
I
had to get...
But they've
made great trades, like all of their trades, to bring in Mookie Betts. You had to develop Verdugo and guys like that. And so they've done a great job just kind of putting that roster around their stars, and I think the Giants fans need to come to grips with, like, they're one of the all-time great teams. Period.
Giants fans haven't come to grips with that? Well, no. See, here's the problem.
What?
We got to stop focusing on the social media fan.
Oh, yeah.
The social media fan is just out of their minds. Giants fans on social media can't come to grips with that. Giants fans that live in reality, that's out there in the real world, touching grass, getting fresh air, you know, playing catch with the kids or...
Hey, being humans,
they understand what's going on here. And the Dodgers have Andrew Freeman, who for some reason didn't get credit when Farhad got the Giants job. It was, oh, Farhad Zaidi did this and did that. And Andrew, I watched Andrew Freeman build a race.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Rays with Carl Crawford, BJ Upton, Evan Longoria, David Price, Matt Garza, James Shields. They had a squad. And he goes to the Dodgers, and they've done the same thing, except he has resources now.
Mm-hmm.
He has ownership that knows how to spend money and will spend money. And they have made shrewd trades. And they have been aggressive in free agency. They've been aggressive at the trade deadline. In that moment last night, he just knew the Blue Jays. By the way, that was a ball on that 3-2 count.
Yeah, but if you're Bichette as the runner, you can't fall asleep.
No, I'm talking about in the 18th inning.
Oh, the 18th inning. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the one where Bichette
was exposed. First and second.
Yes.
Who's the batter? It was backup catcher. It's a 3-1 count. The 3-1 pitch was a ball. It was a ball.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, they gave him a strike. Did he strike out on the next pitch?
Of course he was going to strike out.
Heinemann?
There you go.
Yep. Tyler Heinemann.
And so, you know, you see that situation like, yeah, I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to win this game because they was hanging out for dear life. They had avoided so much trouble with Shohei and Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts had an off night. He's had an off year for the most part. So, Freddie Freeman with an all-time moment. Of course it's him. He had the moment last year. He's a clutch player. He's probably on his way to the Hall of Fame with the way he's playing.
I think he is, absolutely.
And so the Dodgers, yeah, they're going to go back-to-back. I'm just hoping Toronto can somehow, some way, get the series back to Canada.
I'm with you. He's going to hit, I'm projecting, he's going to hit probably 400 home runs. He's going to win multiple rings. He's going to be near a 300 hitter for his career. He's one of the great Braves players of all time, and now he's gone to the Dodgers and won championships.
Yep.
Like, I think he is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
So, you know, Giants fans that are hating saying, we don't have a lot of homegrown players. Well, they flipped those players.
Paez is having a monster.
You know what? Paez is having a monster. But they flipped those homegrown players. Will Smith has had a very good postseason.
Yes, he's a
hell of a catcher.
Yes.
You know, whenever I try to, I don't even want to go there because people kind of money about Will Smith. I like Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith's a hell of a player. And he manages that pitching staff very, very well. So, Giants fans got to come to grips that, yes, it's not only the Dodgers, though. The Padres have lapped the Giants.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks have lapped the Giants.
Yeah.
And so this whole move for Tony Vitello, and you got to get players. I say, I don't care who the manager is. You can go get Billy Martin, go get Bruce Bochy, Dusty Baker on the same bench. You have to get players.
And he's going to have his introductory presser this Thursday, 11 o'clock. Sam's going to be down there. Are you going to be down there, Bonta?
I'm thinking about it because the Warriors play the Bucks. I'm thinking about stopping by there and then going straight to the studio. So.
What would you ask?
I think that's cool.
If you had one question to ask him, what would you ask?
I think it'd be somewhere along the lines of, what do you think the biggest adjustment will be? Will it be to travel? Will it be 162 as opposed to, 50, 60 games? Will it be spring training? There's a few, but I think that'd be my first one.
Managing guys making $300 million is a big change.
It's a huge change.
We had Tony Basilio on, who covered the Tennessee and all, like, the Tennessee sports scene, the college scene, down at our sister station over there. And I didn't even know we had a sister station in Knoxville, wherever it was. But he talked about, and he had a good relationship with Tony Vitello. And what I came away from that interview is basically the person that Tony is.
Yeah.
Which, again, you can be a great person. There's, like, I'm sure Bob Melvin personally was a great person. What does that mean? It just... the pulse he has on the players and knowing the buttons to push and what makes certain players tick and what doesn't, I think is an underrated element of any manager. And that's something we don't really, we can't really see behind the scenes, but it just felt like last year, whatever that was, the pulse on the team, Bob Melvin just didn't have it. I would agree. What, how I felt and characterized it. Now, how is it going to translate from a college kid, right, to a professional?
Who you brought in, like, he handpicks all the players in college, and they're under scholarship or NIL, depending on, you know, who they are. And you could pull that if you want, if the, you're not liking that guy for whatever reason. What are you going to do when Willy Adames is in the midst of a three-week stretch where he's not playing well? You can't just pull him. You can't just, you know, bench him. So there are a lot of dynamics we will see. That being said, I think why he's here also is the development of young players. And I want to get to the Warriors. And I know we're going to get into the Niners and get all that.
Real quick, another thing about Vitello, you know, not only managing the schedule, managing the players, but what type of manager is he in terms of style? Are they going to hit and run? Are they going to run the base pass? Are they going to be more athletic? What is his approach with the Tennessee teams? Is it just, hey, we're going to hit home runs and lean on a three-run homer? We're going to be Sparky Anderson as a manager? Like, what are we going to do?
I think you're going to pick and choose your spots. But I don't think you're asking. Shasky. No, I'm with you. But I don't think you're going to be. So, like, I think this is the misnomer. Huh. He's going to make Raffy Devers bunt. He's not that dumb.
No.
Like that.
He's going to swing away.
Exactly. So, no, look, your point of like, hey, are they going to do delayed steals? Or are they going to be able to, you know, put some pressure on the base pass? That also goes back to personnel.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be.
Stole 10 bases. 10 bases.
I know. And Jung-Hoo Lee is a guy I thought they brought in to steal bases. But I want to get to young player development, and I want to get to the Warriors from what we saw last night, because that's what's fresh in my mind this morning. I woke up feeling like, hey, look, it's four games. It's not a full season. It's not even a month. It's not even 10 games. I feel like it's all clicking for Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm really happy for him. I was really happy for Brandon Bajetski having a great game and Moses Moody having a great game. And this was the recipe that you were looking for when these back-to-backs are announced and you're looking at the schedule and you're looking at the roster and you're trying to work things out. You're saying, all right, can the young guys take a leap forward? And I'm just so encouraged through four games for Jonathan Kuminga, the rebounding, running the high pick and roll, him and Steph Curry. He's the trigger man going downhill with the ball in his hands, making decisions of, do I go up with this? Do I kick it to the outside of the wing? Do I hit the cutter? His ability to be a help defender and affect shots. I have been so impressed with Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm just happy for him.
So happy for him.
Yeah.
This offseason was one for the books, right? A lot of negative things said about him. A lot of negativity towards his way. And so to see him come out here focused, which he's been focused. People have a misperception about Jonathan Kuminga. Oh, he wants to be Kobe. Well, how about this? He's never said that, number one. But number two, what's really wrong with being wanting to be Kobe? Kobe's one of the 10, 15 players ever. Five-time NBA champion. Guy has confidence. Guy says, I want to play. Well, when he gets 30 minutes a game, these are the type of numbers you get from Jonathan Kuminga. Now, the rebounding is a plus, right? And he's skying high for these rebounds. Playmaking's always been there.
Yeah, really, but I feel like he's been passing a lot better.
It's been better. No doubt it's been better. He's 23 years old. Of course it's going to get better. He's an evolving player. It's not a finished product. His first year in the league was basically a redshirt year. He was a freshman in college by the time he was playing on that championship team with the Warriors. So it takes time to grow and develop. But the passing elements, you could see that there was potential there in terms of passing. But what's also always been there is his way that, look, Luka cooked for 40-plus. Aaron Gordon went crazy. Jamal Murray was dribble.
Was amazing.
But look at what Kuminga's doing.
Yeah.
He's taking on assignment.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he starts off on Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Ja's going to get buckets. This league, it's tough to stop premium offensive players. But the fact that he's picking up full court, standing in front of these guys, learning not to go for pump fakes, learning not to get in foul trouble. He got in foul trouble Friday night against Portland, and it kind of flipped the game. He picked up a stir foul, and Portland ends the first half on a 19-5 run. So, yeah, I'm happy for Kuminga, and I think he can keep this going. And hopefully, he's here after February 15th or whatever their NBA trade deadline is, because they need his fresh legs. They need his athleticism. And how cool was it last Thursday to watch Kuminga playing with the Unks?
Yeah.
So great. No,
it was awesome.
It was awesome. That closing lineup, it was great. And, you know, it was a great bounce back performance from that stinker on the back end of a back to back on Friday, where obviously, you know, It maybe just been a recipe for
Blazers fired their coach.
I know, it was just all, it was
jacked up.
It was all, they were jacked up.
Hey, but and you, but
Abdi has looked great, by the way.
You better go to the Motor Center ready to play.
They beat the Lakers yesterday.
Yeah, that's what he said, the same thing.
Anthony Edwards was basically saying, like, that team will play hard. Talking about the Blazers, will play hard every possession the rest of the year. They are a really good team. Like, he was waxing poetically.
The West, there is no, like, walks in the park. There's just not. Even hell, you just saw the Utah Jazz. Larry Markkanen, Warriors legend, 50 points for him yesterday. Larry Markkanen.
Walker Kessler.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. So all four of these games have been Western Conference opponents. You're 3-1 right now. What's not to like, I guess, is the question. And you see yesterday, not only Kuminga, but Moody and Pajemski. And Moody off the bench. You know, Bonte, Shasky and I were talking earlier. I just felt so bad for Moses because he was dealing with that hand injury in the playoffs. And you just saw the weight crashing upon him, Pajemski, all those young players. And just the way it all ended, I think it just left a sour taste in everyone's mouth. And rightfully so. You know, like, Steph gets hurt. You get balanced. It sucks. It's always the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I'm so happy for Moses and Pods, quite frankly, because he was struggling a little bit the first couple of games, to have those performances. And if they can get those shots down and be confident with those shots, man, you could have more wins like he had last night.
Yeah, Pods started slow last season. Shot, 29.5% three in his first 30 games. And then he got hurt with the abdominal.
Yeah.
The abdominal injury.
And the schnoz.
And all of a sudden, he missed 12 games. Comes back the same night Jimmy Butler plays his first game as a member of the Golden State Warriors, and Pods balled out. Last 34 games in a regular season, shot 41% from three, scored about 15, passed, and defensively he's getting better. Look, at the point of attack, he's not going to be – I thought last night, actually. Let me take that back. Last night I thought he did a very good job. He got a steal on the first, what, couple possessions of the game, hit a three, he's playing in the passing lanes, very crafty defender, Brandon Pajemski. So – I do believe Pods will play well, and it's important because, look, he's eligible for a contract extension next summer. How much does that weigh on him? Does it bother the youngsters whether or not they start or not? You know, because that is a thing. That is a thing. De'Anthony Melton will be back at some point, so how does that impact him? Will Richards getting minutes? But it's a good development to see Pods do that, and he's going to have to do it again tonight against the Clippers and James Harden. Kuminga's going to have to continue to do this consistently. Moses Moody as well, to help out the OGs on his team, where they're not going to play back-to-backs. A lot of back-to-backs, like Al Horford's not going to play. So it was a good development yesterday. It was a solid game against a Memphis team that, look, they got an injury report that looks like the 49ers.
I'm so...
How many guys were in street clothes?
I'm just so out on the Jaren Jackson Jr. John Morant tandem. It's not doing anything for anyone.
I'm out on them as a franchise.
Just whenever I watch them, maybe it's just the Warriors playing well, but every time I'm watching the Grizzlies and Jaren Jackson Jr., I come away saying, really? That's all we got? 16 points? 7 boards? We're like the biggest player out there? Like, really? And then you got Draymond, you know, trying to like tell him, hey, shut up, man. Like, who are you? Shut up.
He's
a big brother to him, basically. Michigan State, they go back. So they're like,
Well, Jaren Jackson Jr. is offensively, is disappointed to see where his game is. He lives on a three-point line. Shooting 18% from the three-point line. But, get your big butt down on the block and go to work.
But I think what the problem is, I agree with you. The problem is that Ja wants to operate in the paint.
He does.
And he wants to get downhill, and he doesn't want a big clog in the lane. So that's why I think, as you're going back to the pairing, you would think it would be a good pairing, and for whatever reason, it's not.
It's not.
Well, I don't know. I think they can operate. They've coexisted before. It's the pieces around them now. No longer have Desmond Bane. Where's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at?
Not
offensively. Orlando flipped him in a year.
Yep.
In a year. Yeah. All right. And now you got a lot of rookies on that team. You got Jalen Wills in his second year. You got Coward in his first year, who was shooting the lights out.
I like him.
Yeah, Jacques Landale.
Coward walked in shooting 73% from the 3-point line. His family's all around this area. I ran into his family last night at Chase Center. Yeah, they're big.
Where's he from?
Some of them big Warrior fans. Huh. I'm not sure where he's from, but they were like, they watch a lot of Warrior games. So anyway, went to Washington State. 6'5". So they got a lot of young players, but I just think Memphis, their window's kind of closed in terms of being at the top of the Western Conference. They had a little run.
Fresno.
Fresno, yep.
Interesting. That's really
the Bulldogs, baby.
He was guarding Curry, and Curry hit a three in his face, and he looked over like, I can't believe you just hit that shot.
What'd you make of Day-Day and Santi Aldama yesterday?
So... I'll take you guys inside.
Hey, be careful, dude. That's my Odyssey coworker.
That's right. Yeah, Odyssey's own Draymond Green, baby.
Did you announce that already?
That was yesterday. They announced it. Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
Well, I knew a little ahead of time.
Okay. Oh, we all did.
You know, part of the podcast family.
Oh, there you go.
The Butcher Shop, the Draymond Green Show.
So you'll be playing. You'll be talking nice about Day Day now, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping to get him as a guest.
You know, Draymond, you're my wife's favorite player, Michelle. She loves you. Yeah, my little guy. I actually named my son Draymond Chasky.
The smoozing.
I've been gassing you up since day one.
The smoozing will be at an all time high.
Same old Draymond.
Smoozing will be at an all time high, man. Oh, man. So.
Santi.
Draymond loses a dribble, his handle, and he's out to a fantastic start this season.
He is.
Draymond
he's
Green.
Shooting the three really well. It's got more arc.
No, I like when he shoots.
I'm talking about I'm talking about the form itself, not necessarily the numbers.
Backpack's a little smaller.
So you guys got to be careful. He loses a dribble, and Fezzi goes, "Uh-oh, we could have some trouble here." And I'm paraphrasing. And then that situation happens. And Azina's like, oh, Lord, right? She goes, oh, Lord. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? What's going on here? And you just see him telling Jerry Jackson Jr., shut up.
Over.
It was comedy. Then Aldama misses two free throws, and Draymond does the little skip. And I was like, oh, that's game. Warriors are going to roll. So, seriously.
And they
blew him out of the water. So, you know, in a game like that, he ignites the crowd. He fouls out of the basketball game, but he's having a solid, solid start to the season. So, hey, Draymond Green, he's not going to change. He's going to be who he is.
Can we ask, you've been to so many Chase Center games. My brother went to the Nugget game Thursday night.
Oh, what a game to go to.
Well, he's saying he's been to playoff and World Series baseball games. He's been to playoff and NFC Championship football games. He said that was one of the best sporting events he's ever been to.
Wow.
Even though it didn't have the stakes of the playoffs, to see Steph pull that off late in that game and then win in overtime, it was as good of a game as he's been to in a long
time. And him
time.
Going at the crowd, be like, yeah, come on. Are you not entertained? Oh, yeah.
He said
Russell
they were going
Crow.
Nuts regardless. Yeah, but no. Yes, he was hyping the crowd up.
But that gets it even more so. Yeah.
Chase Center gets a bad rep when it comes to Warrior games. People act like it's never been loud before. it's kind of comical to me. Seriously, that playoff run when they won the championship, Chase Center was buzzing.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think it does?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's jealous people that the stadium's not in San Jose or Oakland. I don't know.
Well, there's always been a
because of the empty seats.
Well,
maybe?
it's similar to Levi's. I feel like in Candlestick, right?
No, it's a little different
because the crowds go nuts at Levi's.
Joe,
right?
You have to understand, there's an East Bay. Chip on the shoulder, and I get it. I do. There's a city, they think that at times, oh, the city gets all the love, and they get all the headlines and everything, and the team going from Oakland to San Francisco, I get, if I was an East Bay resident, I would understand it. And to be fair, a part of the Oracle experience changed dramatically when they were really, 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 really good. But there will be nothing like Oracle. When it was in its heyday, there's nothing like it.
Oracle wasn't the Oracle we grew to love.
At the end.
After 2016.
Yes.
Yeah.
It became kind of a corporate crowd. Teams, fans will be leaving there. I went to a lot of those games. And fans will be leaving early, and they'd be bored, oh, we're just going to win. We'll wait till the playoffs, blah, 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 blah. And some of them got priced out. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
But Chase Center, it gets a bad rap. And yes, Oracle was riveting because of the way it was built, the concrete, the way it was constructed. But Chase Center... it's not too far off, especially in playoff games, especially in high-level games.
Well, Bonte, not only the Warriors, did we watch the Valkyries this past season? Are you kidding me? That was the loudest. No, I'm serious. Bonte, we were at a game together. It gets insane. Joe, you went to games. Gets insane for those Valkyries crowds, for sure. We'll pick this up on the other side. We got to get your thoughts, obviously, on the 49ers. Tough loss against the Houston Texans. Plus, we got an old pal of yours on the phone line that wants to talk to you, Bonte. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, well, right
like
now, for the YouTube audience, if you're watching me, and for those that can't see me, I am donning my Harry Potter costume today. You're Oscar the Grouch. Bonte is the king. Sam is Ron Weasley. And I'm holding a wand right now because the wand chooses the wizard, Joe Shasky. And yes, I am the chosen one. I am the boy who lived, Gio Spadoni, a.k.a. Harry Potter.
Next question.
I actually was called Harry Potter when I was younger because I had glasses, not quite like this. And I sat on Santa's lap when I was like 7 or 8. And he's like, oh, I didn't know we had Harry Potter in here. And it really pissed me off. And I hated Santa Claus ever since, Bonte.
You guys can make fun of Star Wars all you want.
That's your Grinch origin story?
Yes.
You guys can make fun of Star Wars all you want. At least we were swinging swords at each other. You are pointing a stick at me.
Lightsaber, not a sword.
It was a lightsaber. Yeah, come on. You can't even get it right. Hey, if you're going to claim Star Wars, get it right. God, Oscar the Grouch.
I'm saying
metaphorically. As I have my sorting hat right here as well. Do you know what a sorting hat is?
I have no
idea. So when you walk into Hogwarts in the Great Hall, and you're a freshman in this case, you get sorted into one of the four houses. There is Gryffindor, there is Hufflepuff, there is Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. Now, Slytherin.
Hey, Thompson will know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. See, Clay's into it. Probably Meg Thee Stallion, too. Fan.
Big Potterhead.
Harry Potter World in Orlando.
There you go. So Harry Potter was put the sorted hat on him, and he kept saying to himself, not Slytherin, because Slytherin are the bad guys. He's like, not Slytherin. He's like, all right, well, better be Gryffindor then. And the rest is history. Go, Gryffindor. So there you go. Y'all caught up? You guys good? Let's go to Brian in Palo Alto. Hey, Brian, you're a big Harry Potter guy, right? What's up, BPA?
No, I'm not a big Harry Potter guy at all.
You're a mensch, just like me.
My knowledge probably, Shasky, I think. Yeah. He may know more than I do.
Before you get into your call, BPA.
My daughter's a big Harry.
Yeah, what, are you a Disney guy? Tell us what you do outside of sports. What do you watch outside of sports?
I don't answer these kind of questions.
He's Mr. Disney, Mysterious.
Yeah. Kids, I have kids. Disney, all that stuff. Yeah. Harry Potter. I have to endure. I have
How many
to endure
kids do you have, BPA?
Stuff,
so. How many kids do you have, BPA? 3, 4?
Again, that's not for public consumption.
Oh my God! It's the separation of church and state,
okay,
right, Brian?
Two.
I knew last night there was a turning of the tide when I got
a tweet from BPA saying.
I see the vision with Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, my God. BPA will flip tonight if JK starts.
That's the part of me that is unique. I can evolve and I can learn. Right?
Thank you.
And, yes, I can. And this is not about who is right or wrong, right? Because this is a player. Kuminga's never been this player before, right? Like, he's never been a guy that is creating for other people and working within the flow of the offense. So, yeah, it's exciting, right? And I think, not that Bonta, you're not a JK stan, but there are JK stans who exist for the sole purpose of serving their lord and master, right?
Oh my God.
In his ego. And for me, I'm a Warriors fan and I'm a Steph Curry fan, and thankfully he's brought 4 titles here and a top 5 player ever, where these guys all they do is worship at the throne of JK. I'm a Warrior fan and I can evolve and I can see it. I can see what, if this
BPA,
is where it's going for
you're
him.
Full of crap, BPA. You're full, BPA, keep him on the line. You're full of crap. If he goes 3 for 14 tonight, I will get a tweet from you. Trust me, I see every single one of your tweets. F bombs, S bombs, threads. If he goes 3 for 14,
I'm jealous.
You will be ripping him. You will be ripping him, saying, pull him out of the game. He's not worth the money.
He's an international man of mystery. Let him do the Lord's work online.
I've evolved, and I'm evolving, right? And I can see I can see a player that, you know, is a true asset to a contender.
You're not evolving.
I love you, Brian and Palo Alto.
He's full of crap. Go look at his tweet. I see a tweet every game. He tags me every single day.
What's the avatar?
I don't even know what it is anymore.
With the cornrows.
One of my friends texted
this guy for some reason.
You don't see me responding that often. He tags all three of us.
He might be the Dwight Howard of Silicon Valley. He's got like 11 babies with 10 baby mamas.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He has 10 babies. He's Antonio Cromartie?
I don't know, man. Brian? That guy. I don't believe he has kids.
I'm teasing.
He says he has two of them. He has major dad energy whenever he calls in.
He tweets at people, and I'm like, I hope nobody catches him on the street, dude. I mean, he tweets recklessly.
Is he rocking Air Monarchs? Or
yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. He's probably rocking this outfit minus the glasses that I'm rocking right now. There you go. He's a big sweater vest guy, I want to say. Silicon Valley Zone. We have Bonte Hill in studio.
Full of crap with the JK stuff. So people still are like, well, JK's finally bought in. I'm like, I think he's been bought in.
Yeah.
He's rebounding a lot better. There's no doubt about that.
The game is slowing down for him.
The game is slowing down, but when you see when he gets to minutes, the game always tends to slow down for him.
There were two plays yesterday that I want to highlight. Early on, he left his feet and made a really bad pass, and he was able to play through that mistake. And then he made a really poor pass at the top of the key that was intercepted for a layup going the other way. I think in years past, he doesn't stay on the floor after that.
Butler
did the same thing.
Yeah, that's the same thing with JK. Similar to Moody.
What's that?
They're no longer looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
They know they're going to get minutes now. When you're making mistakes and you don't know what your role is and it's not defined, and you're saying, oh, if I make a mistake, I'm going to get Sacramento's a king series. Malik Monk blows by Jonathan Kuminga. He blows a couple assignments. Doesn't play the rest of the series, basically. And so when you're looking over your shoulder over and over and over, it's tough to play basketball like that. It's tough to play anything like that. It's tough to do your job like that. So finally he's like, okay, I'm getting some minutes early on. I'm going to make a couple mistakes, but I'm able to play through it. That's huge for a young player, especially in the NBA.
32 minutes yesterday, 9 of 14, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. And he's making his free throws on top of that. Yeah. 10 boards, 4 assists, 25 points. And this team, Bonte, I always talk about it. Because we have short-term memory here, they just could not get to the line prior to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And now you got Jonathan Kuminga on top of that. And Jimmy's going to get there, feels like, at least 8 times. It was 6 of 8 from the line yesterday, Bonte. That's just another element that this team did not have for so long that I just don't think we talk about. Getting the opposite team in foul trouble. And a team like the Grizzlies, that just do dumb fouls. I mean, like Jaren Jackson Jr., the guy just maybe commits the dumbest fouls all year. And Draymond has talked about it, Bonte.
Season.
It's
too old to be doing that. Warriors, I saw this crazy stat going into the Portland game where before Jimmy Butler arrived, 13% of their overall points came from the free throw line. That was second to last in the NBA. 13%. Jimmy Butler arrives, and it doesn't feel like a big increase, right? But 17% once Jimmy arrived came over. 17% of their overall scoring came from the free throw line. All of a sudden, they go from second to last to first in the league in terms of percentage of points coming from the free throw line. That's a huge jump. It feels like an incremental gain, you know, just 13% to 17%. But the fact is, they're going to the free throw line a lot more, and they're slowing the game down, which therefore sets your half-court defense.
I'm really optimistic about where the Warriors are at right now. I feel really good. If there was one
concern?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, fatal flaw? I don't know what the word is. I don't know what the phrase might be. Like, Aaron Gordon went off in the paint, beyond the arc, all over. Guarding these fours, these stretch, rugged fours, and there's only so many of those Aaron Gordon types, but there are other bigs that are going to give them problems down the stretch. I just don't know where they're going to find that type of a player to slow that guy down, even on their own roster, outside of their own roster. There's some really difficult matchups that are going to be ahead in the West, and they might just not have the recipe. They might have to outscore or outrun those types of teams. I don't know if that answer can be found on the trade deadline.
Yeah, Denny Avia, Friday night in Portland.
He Jeremy Grant,
good
pitch.
Example. Really good example.
And just stretch fours, and I think guards, too, get into the paint. Feet in the paint. Chet Holmgren's,
who can guard Wemby? What are they going to do against Wemby?
Well, defensively, it is a concern. For the first three games, Portland, the Lakers, Denver, they all shot 53.5%, 54% from the floor, Warriors came in the game last, and I think dead last in opponent's field goal percentage.
I didn't know that.
In three consecutive first halves, think about Denver. They scored 70 in the first half.
It's
Portland
true.
Scored 69, 60, yeah, yeah, 69 yeah. in the first half. Last night, Memphis scored 61. And they were rolling in the first half for a second. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
that second unit got ugly.
It got ugly. Even the first quarter, back half of the quarter, it just got ugly for the Warriors. So tonight against the Clippers, where they're an efficient team with Kawhi Leonard and Ivica Zubac, very interesting to see Al Horford maybe take Zubac out of the paint. Going to be a very interesting matchup there. He's going to play tonight.
For sure. Yeah, okay, that was my next question.
Playing tonight. So I'm not sure if he's going to start, but he's going to play. And they didn't beat the Clippers last year. So defensively, overall, whether it's stretch fours, whether it's threes, whether it's guards getting 2 feet in the paint, they've got to do a better job defensively. Again, they allowed at least 61 points in the first half in three consecutive games. It's not good. It's not going to cut it in the Western
Conference. Do we like the pace of play, though? Because sometimes you can give up points, and you look at the scoreboard, you know, and like I do think the pace of play has been a good one for them.
Pace of play has been solid, but points in the paint?
Yeah, that you got it. You can't give those up.
Portland, 66-30 when it came to points in the paint. Denver, Derrick Gordon went crazy, and Jokic had an off night, which is surprising when it comes to Jokic.
He looked really out of
Michelle
shape.
Michelle goes, he looks fatter than he ever looked.
No, no, no. Like, he's, like, and I know the way he plays, we always make fun of him.
He looked
like,
out of shape.
No, he looked like he had a little bit of a little too many potatoes in the offseason.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know who's playing tonight?
Who?
Well, the two oldest teams in the league, but also Chris Paul, Warrior legend.
Oh, there's CP3.
CP3 coming off the bench alongside Bradley Beal.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think Bradley Beal may be starting. John Collins is playing.
Well, last game it was Kawhi, Derrick Jones Jr., Zubac, James Harden, Bogdanovich.
Okay, so Bradley Beal came off the bench in that one?
Yes. Batum, Collins, Lopez, Chris Paul, Chris Dunn.
Isn't this such like a 2K type of a team where you like simulate the draft and all of a sudden you got all these randoms on one team, the Clippers? I don't know, man. They're super old and random.
As much as we talk about the health for the Warriors, I'd have a way bigger question mark when it comes to the Clippers. It felt like if any year they were going to break through, it would have been last year, Bonte. Like, you had Kawhi pretty much as healthy as he's been for a while during that stretch. Yet James Harden, I mean, God, we all saw that basically play-in game, the last game of the season. He looked incredible. He took it over towards the end there in overtime. Like, if at any point they were going to break through, it felt like it would have been last year, and they just, you know, they ran up in the first round and took it to 7 games, and they just couldn't break through.
Right?
So, like, Kawhi's still Kawhi, but I'm very curious as we keep seeing these Western Conference teams. It's actually kind of fun how this has worked out. Getting a little taste for the West this early on in the season has been pretty interesting.
Well, the Western Conference, obviously Oklahoma City's going to be there. They're undefeated. They beat Dallas last night. Dallas almost came back from 22-point deficit. They're playing without Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. Houston, we'll see about Houston. They're going to need a point guard at some point. But you know what? The San Antonio Spurs. Monty Poole and I did a podcast a couple weeks ago. We're doing our West previews. And I said, you know, my bold proclamation is San Antonio will be in the top five. Wimby's going to take that leap, and he's throwing up Hakeem Olajuwon numbers.
He looks unguardable.
He's throwing up Hakeem Olajuwon numbers. Stephon Castle, second-year player. They didn't give up any of their bench pieces.
Vassell still looks good.
Keldon Johnson, Sohan, Harrison Barnes. They brought Kelly Olynyk is still on that bench. They brought in Luke Kornet for the Boston Celtics.
They got rid of Chris Paul.
I like Kornet.
Addition by subtraction.
Well, De'Aaron Fox is there now.
Yeah.
And San Antonio is a scary, scary basketball team. They're 4-0 right now. Now, they'll hit a bump in the road at some point. But if Wimby is playing like this, and I believe he was going to get MVP votes anyway, if he continues to play like this, he will be the MVP, and San Antonio will be a top-four team in the Western Conference. So these young teams are, they are scary good.
I watched him versus Lively and Gafford a couple week nights ago, and he makes both those guys look tiny.
Anthony Davis. Think about what he did to Anthony Davis. He dunked on Davis. He dunked on Lively.
It was crazy.
He dunked on Gafford. I mean, the Mavericks, they really miss Kyrie Irving. No doubt about that. They miss Kyrie.
I do love Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg's going to be nice, but he got dunked on yesterday by Chet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, not posterized. Chet looks amazing. I don't know what these post-game outfits are, but he looks amazing.
That's the Chet Holmgren experience. By the way, we mentioned earlier that Draymond Green, our Draymond Green, now an Odyssey podcast host. Well, this is what he had to say.
I mean, that's always been my guy.
My producer gets in my ear and shout out Carter Chickering over there.
He said, don't panic.
You know, Draymond said something on his show, his podcast, that is very pertinent to our conversation. So you know what, Carter? You give me the sound. I'm going to play it. Draymond Green via the Odyssey
Big
podcast.
Boss Man special.
Quite honestly, I just don't know that the East has any teams that can compete at a championship level with the teams at the top of the West. Obviously, Boston being down right now, I think plays a huge role in that. The Cavs haven't been able to show that Darius Garland ain't playing. So, you know, obviously DG get back. You need to see how all of that come back together, right? Like, just because you had a good year last year doesn't necessarily mean things come back together like that. Teams have had a whole year to scout your offense, you know, so maybe that'll look different now. Like, so you have to put all the pieces. Lost Ty Jerome. I think he was big for that locker room. I think he was big for that team. Tristan Thompson not with that team, right? So when I look at the East, I just, right off the bat, I don't see any teams that can compete with the teams at the top of the West at a championship level. I don't foresee that.
Draymond Green on the Draymond Green Show via Odyssey. The Tristan Thompson one just made me laugh. Listen, the East, sure. Like, can we just get through the West first? And what is the carcass of the West, and how does it look like compared to whatever team comes out of the East?
I didn't have Indiana going as far as they did and looking as good as they did. So you have to let the season play out.
You never know what happens. I mean, when Jason Tatum tore his Achilles, everything was thrown out the window. You never know with these
Although
things.
I hear him on the Cavs. God, I love Evan Mobley, though. I really do.
I think they got to move Darius Garland. That small backcourt in the playoffs gets exposed.
Mitchell's
not a great point of attack defender. Garland's not a great point of attack defender. So you got to get bigger at that two-guard spot. Well, and they're not going to trade Donovan Mitchell. You keep him because you know he's a playoff performer. Garland's a guy I would move along with somebody else, maybe. Ty Jerome was
Jared Allen, maybe? Good. Do you move Jared Allen with him?
That's good. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Package that for some size there, maybe some wing depth. I'm not sure. But my pick in the East, because it is down, I do believe it's down. I'm kind of with Draymond there. I think the New York Knicks with Mike Brown, I think they're going to outlast everybody.
I know.
Indiana's down.
Yeah. They're a very good team. The Knicks are very
I love my Orlando Magic. I love my Orlando Magic, but I'm not.
You're not ready yet? Yeah, I get it.
Another step. You need another piece, and they got to stay healthy.
The Pistons feel like they're right there with the Magic to me, too.
Pistons, okay. They
need shooting.
They lost yesterday. I watched that game yesterday.
Getting back to the Warriors, just seeing the first couple of games, what did you underrate about this team? What did you overrate about this team? Let's go around the room. You can pick either one. We're only four games in. I'm not trying to make it like it's the whole season.
I maybe underrated how well Jonathan Kuminga would play early on.
Yeah.
I'm a JK believer. You guys know that. I love Jonathan Kuminga's game. I think it can translate to winning. But it's come together fast. And I'm like, okay, cool. That noise that we all heard in the offseason has dissipated. I don't think there's a Warrior fan on the planet right now that wants to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Not one. I'd be shocked. Now, players become available. People will say this and that, and you already see articles about three-team deals or whatnot. Whatever. But way it's come together, with Jonathan Kuminga starting alongside Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, the spacing has been good. The rapport has been good. The communication has been good. You see Jimmy coaching them up on the floor. You see Draymond coaching them up on the floor. That's come together. So that one has taken me by. I've been a little surprised by that.
See, I think the thing that I underrated the most was, and you referenced it kind of at the end there, and he brought it up a couple weeks ago, the mentorship of Jimmy Butler on not just Moody or Pods, but Kuminga in particular. I mean, it's had a big impact, like a big impact. I really underrated that.
What did Jimmy say last week? We watch film together.
Yep.
We eat together.
He's talking to him in between possessions, right, like what to do.
Well, Monty Poole brought it up.
Jimmy Case like nodding his before head, they, soaking it up.
Yeah, before my bad. Before they flew up to flew down to L.A., Monty Poole's on a court to talk to Stephen Curry. Steph's on one court, and it's only three players left. There's Steph, and then there's Jimmy and J.K. on the same court.
It's crazy.
Working out together. So they're working out before the practice, after practice, during practice. That's come together very, very well for Jonathan Kuminga. I'm so happy for him. But that one's kind of like I knew it was possible. I knew there was potential there. But the way it's come together early on, Spinoni, is really, okay, cool, we're here.
And you knew it early on, and Jimmy said it early on there when J.K. was just kind of getting back into the fold post-injury. What did he say? The word that I keep coming back to, we could thrive together. Not just play together, thrive. And when you say that, when you're that new top dog alongside Steph, you don't think that means something to Jonathan Kuminga to hear that? Like, hear another, like big boy, big shot, all-star, Hall of Famer say, oh, this guy thinks we could thrive together. And at that point, they had barely even played on the court together in practice.
But, Joe, it's one thing to say that.
No, totally.
It's another for them to run offense, high pick and roll last night. Which, to my eyes, it felt like the most they've done, where Kuminga's the guy setting the ball screen for Curry. He gets the rock on the roll, and he's the one making the decisions going downhill. See, that's the part that opened my eyes. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing when the style of play matches what the words are saying.
Let's go to Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's a longtime caller.
Oh, yeah.
Bonta, you know Tim. We all know Tim.
One of the biggest Kuminga supporters.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
What's up, Timmy?
What's up? What's up, guys? Hey, Bonta, man, it is great to hear you, man, in there, man. I just wanted to call in.
What's up, Tim?
You know, I think a lot, guys. Last year, the guy came back 18 games, wasn't fully healthy, just to a whole new team, and I just think I think a lot of people just kind of jumped the gun and just made an assumption that just the guy wouldn't work. I think the guy called earlier, the BPA guy, talking about Kuminga stand. I don't know exactly what a Kuminga stand is. What I'll tell you is that the people that have been a fan of his have probably been a fan of his for about 4 years. And all they ever really kind of said was, hey, this guy seems to play pretty good if he gets like 30 minutes a game. Like, the numbers are the numbers. I think we've all seen it, and that's all anybody ever said. So to think somebody's going to call in and be saying, I told you so, that to me, that's kind of insulting. Because at the end of the day, all Bonta you ever say on the podcast, all anybody ever says is, hey, man, when the guy plays 30 minutes a game, he's usually getting you 26-4, and the team has a winning record. So I don't know why I'm glad it's not granted. He has taken his floor game to another level. I love seeing the passes. I love seeing him slow it down. And I hate the nonsense. We need to understand, look, athleticism and just being able to jump is one thing. But, dude, right leg, left leg, with the left hand or the right hand, I'm still trying to understand how he looked like he was, like, walking, took one power dribble, and what he did to LaRavia 2 weeks ago. I'm still trying to get over that. You know, so, I mean, listen, this dude is just, he's doing great. I'm glad to see it. I just hope he keeps up. I think we really underestimated what it is to be empowered by your teammate.
No, Tim, I got to ask you, because you have been a big-time Jonathan Kuminga defender. I know you're not a stan. You want the Warriors to win, but you also knew that, hey, Kuminga can help them win. What was it about Kuminga that made you believe that he could help this team win?
I think that I think because it goes back to the first stint when Wiggins went out. That was the first stint that he played well with the big boys. He helped play winning basketball with the big boys. He played complimentary basketball the second year. And so we saw it then, Bonta. That's back when you were on the air. We talked about it all the time. So that was the first to show. And then after that, it was always about when he got his next chance, when Dre got suspended. He showed us the same thing. So it wasn't empty calorie stats that he would get when the big boys were out. He was playing winning basketball when they were in. You remember the Portland game when he was benched the first half. He comes in the second half, and he puts up like 12 or 14 points, they go on to win. It was happening with the big boys. So it was this, it's this thing out there, like he was, he's Cam Thomas in Brooklyn, just throwing up crazy. Even when he filled in, when the big boys were out against the Houstons those couple of times, even with Phoenix, when he hit the clutch free throws with Kate, with Steph on the court, it happens with everybody. So all that this kid ever really needed was a little bit of empowerment and confidence that, look, man, we got you. And I think Jimmy, what Jimmy has gone through in his career when it comes to contracts, having to work his way up. Jimmy wasn't some, you know, big power scorer as soon as he started in the league. He was a guy that worked his way up from the bottom as a grunt type player and then became Jimmy Buckets. So I think what he's seen, along with Draymond, has always been crazy about him. I think that has really just took the guy's mental to another level. So it's just great to see it. And I just love to see, I think the guy is really damn talented. Not just some guy that can jump. I played basketball. Not easy to just go left leg, right leg, use both hands and do some of the things he does.
Absolutely. Great call, Tim, in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Good to hear from you, Tim.
Absolutely. Who joins us on the River Islands guest line. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with a juicy, I guess this is a juicy Week 9 matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the New York Giants. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
You know, Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina, he's like Jon Snow in that scene, The Battle of the Bastards, where he just takes his sword out and he's just fighting all the JK haters. I know he's not a stan, but that's what it feels like. I swear to God, all summer long, I do the podcast, I say one nice thing about JK, and the vitriol that came my way. It's very weird.
Very weird.
This whole stan thing is weird. You say one good thing. Hey, this guy did this well. Ah, Bonte, he doesn't play with any basketball. Ah, this and that. I'm just like, okay, he doesn't do everything great. He's raw in certain areas. But can you give the guy a little credit? We give everybody else credit around here. I don't know. It's just very, that whole dynamic is just weird.
I think it's just sports in general. Now you're either the greatest thing that's ever played or you're terrible and can't play at all. When the reality is there's so many guys that are in between those two destinations. Right. I think Purdy and how we talk about Purdy, a lot of that falls into the same thing. Like, you can't just say, yeah, I think he's good. It's, oh, you don't think he's elite?
Yeah, oh my
yeah, what's
God.
Good? Yeah, is he not great?
It's bizarre. It's bizarre, actually.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Bonte Hill in studio, courtesy of River Islands, as he is each and every Tuesday at this time.
The other thing I think, unfairly, whether it's James Wiseman, Moses Moody, or Jonathan Kuminga, there's a segment of the fan base that views them as a stone that has been tied to the big three, now the big two, in Steph Curry and Draymond Green, that's been holding them back.
Yeah.
No, like, I think it's absurd. It's insane to me. Like, you know, like, you know, in their mind, the only way for the Warriors to maintain being good or to get one more championship is everyone has to be old. And it's like, well, using that logic, the Niners would have never drafted Ricky Waters or Jerry Rice, or, you know, they just would have kept doubling down on old players. Like, show me a business in America over the last 50 years, in sports or outside of sports, that isn't trying to develop inexpensive young talent.
Show me the recent NBA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.